Hello, diamond beauties and interdimensional beings of light. It's Lisa here, your mystic guide, inviting you to come and take a ride with me as we journey through space and time. Our mission is to create conscious content for 1111D, sharing resources of light for the new reality. Welcome to the Buddhist Biohacker.
Buddhist Biohacker would like to thank our partners Block Therapy, Purity Coffee, Dry Farm Wines, Omnia, and 2-1 Photography. Information can be found on lisamgunshore.com. Join our forum at miwi.com/Buddhist Biohacker and watch live on YouTube on the Buddhist Biohacker channel.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our One Heart, One Earth November Awakening event. And I am Lisa Gunshore. I am your host. This is day 2 of the week, day 3 of the lives, day like 12 of the presentation. So I didn't plan that scheduling very well, but it's all working out well. But welcome in, everybody. And if you have not yet registered or learned about One Heart, One Earth, you can go to oneheartoneearth.net. It is a fabulous collaborative website with an online magazine and an art gallery and a video gallery and a photography gallery. And you are welcome to submit your own artwork, your own writings, your own creative pieces, even music. I'd really love to get some music up there. So you are welcome to submit anything to our submissions at oneheartoneearth.net. Julie Ware is our contributions editor, and I do believe Miss Claudette is going to be helping us with the art curation as we go forward into 2021 as we figure all this out. So do join us at oneheartoneearth.net for all sorts of good stuff, the schedule, the presentations, all of those things. You can also gain access to all of the presentations from all 4 summit events this year, as well as global healing circles, divination classes, and various assorted other things at ajatakasha.com. That's A-J-A-T-A-K-A-S-A. It's Tibetan for boundless and infinite space. And our light library is there. And I currently have a free 14-day trial. So with all of that stuff out of the way, welcome on in. And we are here talking about divine light with Claudette Dean. Welcome back, Claudette.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. It's a pleasure to be back. And thank you for having me. Such an amazing event. So I'm proud and humbled to be part of it.
Oh, we just love you so much. And you are divine light, in my opinion. So
well, we all are.
yes, I'm true. So let's start out. We have folks that are new to the community and new to you. And would you like to just share a little bit about who you are and your story and who you are today, really, right?
Yeah, I wish I knew, but yeah, I'll do my best. Yeah, well, let me start off by saying that I've been working as a visual artist since the mid-1990s. My work is spiritually based and expresses themes such as love, light, and connection. And at the base of my work has always been unity consciousness, the idea of oneness. I've always strived to have that as my base. I've also delved into the written and spoken word. I write poetry. And 2 years ago, I guess it's 2 years ago now, that I published my first novel called Smelling Roses, A Tale of Connection and Transformation. Having said all of that, I've just feel that everything that I've done so far has led me to this point, to where now the real work is about to begin. And my journey has told me that. And thanks to you giving me this opportunity to really reflect on my journey, and also this lockdown period during COVID-19 has given me, I think all of us, a chance to really reflect on who we truly are and what our mission truly is. It's been an ongoing process for me, though, I'd say for the past 2 years. You know, and and Hurricane Dorian came in last year and kind of helped clean out stuff, literally, because it wiped away the whole first floor of our home. And it took away a lot of clutter, literally and figuratively. And after that, again, COVID-19, we've been rebuilding our home. So I'm in a new spot here as well. I have a brand new studio that is just now finished downstairs and ready for me to get into and start working. So, you know, what I really think is that my journey is really intriguing. You know, I don't know if you wanted me to delve into that or
do it. I mean, I was intriguing, and then you're like, should we talk about it?
okay, well, my journey, my life journey, my spiritual journey, and my creative journey have all been kind of intertwined to paint a very kind of interesting picture, you know, as I've looked back on it. And like I say, with the lockdown period and this invitation to really look back and take a close look, it's been really relevant as it pertains to my true life purpose. Okay, I'll start in my personal life. There's been a thread throughout my personal life, my creative life, and my spiritual life that has all indicated that I am a link or a connection between two worlds, if you will. You know, in my personal life, I can start from childhood, really, with a very simple example that I was very close to two cousins of mine who always seemed to be fighting, and I was the one in the middle being the mediator. And then later on, I grew up in Canada in a French-Canadian home. A Catholic home. And when I was 11, we moved from the town into the city, and I had to go to an English school. So then I became a link between the French culture and the English culture. And that carried on again later in my adolescent life. And then as an adult, I became a link really between the white world and the black world, because my husband is a black man. And so that thread has been consistent in my personal life and in my creative journey as well, because what has always been important to me, although it took me a while to figure it out, is to bring the sublime into the mundane, to bring that divine into the earthly. So I'm a link that way as well. With the poetry, it came up. And in every regard, I've been kind of a messenger, a link, and this has been, I've had a few dreams in that regard, and, you know, the novel I wrote is indicative of that as well. So that's definitely something that has been there. And so my creative journey is interesting because I really, talking about light and shadow and how important it is to do shadow work. And I'm talking about divine light. It's not easy, okay, to get to that point, as we all know. And so my creative journey, I think I can really knock it down into three sections, because it came for me later in life at a time in my life that was very disruptive. Some might want to call it midlife crisis situation. I was like in my late 30s, and that's when my creativity kicked in, and I became an artist. And it was such a joy that I found this, that I was so totally focused and dedicated that I found a huge success. And I think it's from that total giving yourself to something, and I can call that part of my journey into the light, because it was all light, it was wonderful, it was success. And the culmination of that part of my journey was my first one-woman show in the Bahamas called Lumière, which I shared in my presentation. And later I found out it was an awakening, it was a realization. And so after Lumière, but what was happening during that first part of my journey into the light creativity, creatively, in my personal life, there were shadow issues that were kind of coming in behind the scenes, which I didn't realize at the time, but a lot of stuff that was happening in the personal life. And so after Lumière, which I thought, okay, well, now I can really paint the light because I've had this awakening and all of that. Little did I know, it's like, oh no, you have a few issues that you need to clear up before you can be this light warrior that you're professing to be. And so it was difficult because I was just trying to paint the light, but there was a conflict because there were these shadow issues that I needed to clear up. And you can see it in, now that I look back, in my next shows, like in Inner Sanctum, when I wrote the poetry, which was the beautiful part of it. But there were these beautiful images of lotuses, and juxtaposed with these images of a curled up woman who has the light behind her, but is not yet quite flying. So it was there to see. And in my my last one woman show, it was even called Beautiful Burden, because I was feeling like, you know, what happened, you know, that joy, it was a conflict going on. I didn't realize I was doing shadow work, you know, and that's all it was. It's very difficult. And for that show, I created these forms that were like chalices that really could hold the light. Like I just wanted to hold the light and create these structures that would keep the light. And it was in that show that I actually created an army of guard IMs, these guardians that for my protection or to help me, that's how much I was in that space. And so I created these which you can see one behind me, that's Guardian Endred. And they're carrying a Dinkra symbol. So the headdress, the shield, the right arm, and the companion, they're all different, the Dinkra symbol. So they're divine again, but very much grounded in that earthly African symbolism. And then after that, the book happened, which was again more shadow work and really a relief. And then after that, you know, as I said, Dorian happened, and it's really brought me to this place of really now I'm ready. I don't know what it looks like as yet, but I know that being out in a more public way is part of what I need to do, because I'm very much a reclusive artist who loves to be in my studio by myself painting. I know that it's part of what I need to do. And also I think that idea of being a link between two worlds is going to be even more prominent. I don't know how, but this is my feeling, and that's where I think I'm at right now, being here with you talking about all of this. So that's it. I think I've said everything I wanted to say. Let me see. So that's basically it. So everything has been kind of interwoven, but this thread of being this link has been throughout my personal life, my creative life, my spiritual life. My spiritual life really, my creative life became totally intertwined with my spiritual life. They just inseparable, along with my personal journey, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that so much. And I want to invite everyone who's watching right now, we have such a great audience. Please, if you have questions for Claudette about her presentation, about her artwork, about her journey, about her book, about her writing, anything, please throw it in there, or any shares or experiences you've had from her presentations or even her last show here on Buddhist Biohacker, please share that. And Claudette, I would love, I'm so, so drawn to that painting behind you with all those rays of light. And I would love for you to talk about her a little bit.
It's a very important painting because, how should I start telling this story? It was during that period where I was feeling a bit lost, like, do I still have that magic to create the life, the light in my studio? And I said, okay, let me just go back to basics. And so the way I've drawn that female figure is very much vintage Claudette Dean. If you look at my very early work, it's that kind of a stylized figuratism, if you will. And I love pattern, and I love pattern. So if you look at her dress, there's a pattern there. And the initial drawing was simply her on the beach with the tree. And it was a palm tree going the other way over her, and because I live in the Bahamas. And so that was the initial drawing. But as I was painting her, that whole sunrise mandala came into being through that magic. And I was in my studio thinking, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's still there, you know. And the whole painting, every piece of the pattern in her clothes, in the mandala, her hair, everything is in the shape of a heart. I don't know if you can't zoom in good enough, but the whole, they're all, even the tree up at the top that looks like stars, they're all formed with little hearts. So the whole thing is hearts, and it's called Nirvana. Yeah. So that was my gift, saying it's okay. You still have some work to do, but you still have it. The magic is still there. So yeah, a really important painting. And it's been shown a few times, a lot of people loving it, but it's still mine. So I think now my husband has claimed it in our living room. So it's not going anywhere. You say, no, that's not for sale. It's for our home. And I'm happy to keep her here because it's a great reminder, you know. So all of that light, that mandala, it just evolved as I was painting her. So it was totally amazing. Mm-hmm. Totally
amazing. It's just beautiful. Julie's asking, do you have some of your poetry to share or a story about your poetry?
Oh yeah, the poetry. Well, I shared some last time and I haven't written any down. I might be able to recite the poetry. And it was at Julie's nudging, actually. I think she was the one that mentioned that was my show, Inner Sanctum, which was my second, it'd be my third one-woman show in Nassau at Pop-Up Studios, which I was invited to. It was an invitation to have a one-woman show at that gallery, which I was very pleased to be invited. Somehow, I think it was Julie that said, you know, I'm feeling like the written word. And there was another lady here, I believe, from New York who was involved with Sai Ma. And we had lunch, and they both were saying, yeah, I'm kind of feeling like the written word needs to be a part of the show. And I'm thinking, you know, and so I'm sitting in my studio, and I don't know if you remember from the Lumiere video, I had the big Luna painting, which is the moon, right? Well, she was there on the wall.
I feel like this painting, let's see if I can do this because it's backwards in here. I feel like my moon lady is like related to Luna.
Yeah, well, hey, woman, moon, they're all related, right? Yeah, for sure, you know, for sure, that feminine energy. Anyway, she was there and I sat in the chair. I said, okay, well, let me try and write a poem. And I started with Mystical Madam, which is a poem about the moon, and I think I read it I think it's part of my presentation, and it said, Madam Moon tugs at my heartstrings, sending provocative messages with the tide that I too am a mystical madam, a beautiful but empty vessel, desperate to be filled with your fiery elixir of light, eager to share it with the darkness, flooding hidden holes of longing with light, and to ignite sleeping hearts, which like sun-kissed lotus buds burst open, perfuming the dawn with the fragrance of your love in full bloom. So that was the first poem that came out. It took me a while. It didn't just come out. It it took me a while. And as it got, I got into it, I'm thinking, gee, you know, it's not bad. It's like, I was surprised at myself that I always said, okay, well, if you read that poem, it wasn't yours, would you like it? And I did like it, you know? And then it continued from there with that whole series of poems, which were really love poems to the divine. And what I did in that show is that I had the recording of the poems playing while the show, at the opening of the show. So that was the background sound was my reading the poetry. And I had a big, one of the big poems done big on a piece of plexiglass that was up on the wall. It was the poem, Universal Song. And that goes, alone I sat in the quiet darkness of the inner sanctum, writing love notes on the moonbeams streaming in like endless reams of silver gossamer. I wrote and wrote until at last you replied with a bouquet of golden sunbeams sent to warm my heart, like bright promises of a new day written by the sun. Your sweet serenade echoed through my spirit, and then my heart, no longer mine but yours, began beating to the universal rhythm. No, began beating to the universal rhythm of your song of oneness. I think I messed up a little bit, but so that was another one. So a whole series came out, and I have a book called Inner Sanctum that has the poetry and the images available on Blurb. And and I think for that show, the poetry was the strong part. You know, again, it was my, that connection to the light that was still very strong came out in the poetry. And the poetry, again, to give me comfort, you know, that that connection, that light, it hasn't gone anywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Sally has a question. She said, can you share about connecting or transcending experiences that I can only imagine you have with your art? It has to be such an inward gift to you as it is an outward gift to us.
Oh, that's a beautiful question.
Ooh, it is.
I have goosebumps, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. You know, I just told the story of Nirvana back there, you know, at a low point, and me going back to everything I love, pattern and the figure and the woman. And then having all of that happen, that Mandela back there, you know, that was not planned. It just happened. And the more I worked on it, the more it came out, the more I gave thanks. And this happens. Even Luna, with Luna, the big painting that I did with the different phases of the moon, the woman wasn't there to begin with. I was painting clouds that were in the sky throughout the different phases of the moon. I was just painting clouds. And when I stood back, I saw a piece of what looked like a woman's face. And so I thought, oh, and it was right in the middle under the moon where it was full. And so I just started developing her as a woman's face. And then the clouds became her hair. And that was totally magical. And there she was, Luna, you know, she was waiting for me to paint her. So that's another great example. I'm trying to think. There's so many. That show was full of magic. And what precluded that show was a show in Nassau that we were invited to, a group of us here on Grand Bahama, called Grand. And it was for an art event called Transforming Spaces, where they do a bus tour and they go around to different art galleries. And that really was the beginning of that multi-canvas situation that I used in Lumiere, where I just created, all of a sudden it dawned on me that I could use different canvases and display them in such a way that you could see the moon rising and setting and arising and then being at midday and setting again, and then at midnight, using long canvases that showed the sky and then a separate canvas that showed the sun go up and down. And I called that piece 24 hours. and it was great. Yeah. And then I did a similar thing with different canvases using different phases of the moon. And each section, depending on what phase of the moon it was done in a different style. Like one was like Van Gogh's, swirl. The other one was more dots. And so they really were foretelling the Luna and the other pieces in Lumiere. And that was a really wonderful time in my studio when that, it was like an epiphany, like, wow, that's a neat idea. And I've just been going through my old drawings getting set up in my new studio. And I came across all of those ideas there on my sketch pad. And I thought, wow, what a time that was. And then I had girls on the beach that were all kind of looking toward the, they were all in the same position and they had all these suns on top. And I called it sun worshipers, they're part of that same, that same exhibition. So that's the magic that was happening there before that show Lumiere, which was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just some of those things. Actually, the piece that I have a piece in the National Collection, the Bahamas National Collection at the National Art Gallery, it's called A Multicolored Culture. And that was kind of an epiphany as well when I thought of that, because in the Bahamas, there are all kinds of shades. There's dark, there's medium, there's, white, there's all shades of people that live in the Bahamas for various reasons. And so I created, was four different pieces, and I used pearls to represent, okay, if two people, two white people get married, I had two white pearls, and then they had, two little white pearls, the two black people got married, then they had maybe five little black pearls because they like larger families. Mm-hmm. And then, if a white person and a black person, then they had these two kids, or I think it was three, that, one was lighter, one was medium. And I called it a multicolored culture. And when Dr. Erica James came down to write something about the show, she was then the director of the National Art Gallery. And I told her the story. It was very different than anything I had done. When I explained that one to her, she said, oh, she just loved it. It was such a simple idea, but said so much. And so she said, I think I'm going to want that for the National Collection. So that's another great story.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Oh, it was transcendent. That thought was really, when that happens, it's magic. It is simple, but it's so profound,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a question for you, but there's so many questions from the audience.
Great. Love it. I'm not doing it, but.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch on here. So, Paula, I'm going to get to your question in 1 second. But my question is, my question for you, Claudette, is, I'm obviously very creative. I don't know if I could have done all this without my energy.
Yeah.
When I was in school, just regular, K-12 school, I definitely have an art talent. Like I loved art class and I loved painting and drawing and coloring and all those things, sort of left it by the wayside. And it was really Julie Hoyle who kind of blasted that back open for me with her course about connecting to your soul purpose and doing that art project. And that's how I painted some of these things in my office. Cause it was like, oh wait, maybe I can actually do some of this. Mm-hmm. And so I give that to, that's the context for my question, which is when we want to start opening those gifts and we don't know how to be an artist. I mean, I still have basic things. Like, I don't know if I want to take a class or if I'm just going to let it kind of do its thing. Mm-hmm. But what's your advice to people who, because there is this emotional inner work that happens through the art, like at each of the pieces I've painted, it's like came through me through the energy of the divine. Mm-hmm. And what's your advice to people who want to try it, who say, you know what, I'm really inspired, but I have no idea where to start?
Right. Well, Julie offered a lot of intuitive art workshops. And that's a really, if they can find something like that to start, because then it shows you what could happen and people get really excited. you know, and it start, Julie would start with a simple idea, and everybody's piece would look different and all very relevant to their situation at the time. If you want to, that's a good place to start. If you're serious about wanting to do serious art, then you need to know some techniques. You know, I took some private lessons to begin with. I did a correspondence course. I did a course in Provincetown in drawing from the figure, just because you need to know those basics to really, if you want to create a serious painting, there are some things you need to know about color. You can learn from books, you know, if you're good at learning from books or on YouTube now, you can learn everything on YouTube. There's all kinds of techniques that you can learn. And that would be, you know, advisable, because I did a few things, but basically once I got started and I knew, you know, I worked with a very great artist here, Chantal E.Y. Bethel. We worked side by side, and she was really great at color, and she inspired me to really look at color more profoundly, you know. And it's important, you know, because color has a vibration. So, and then as far as intuitively with color, I never know what colors I'm going to use on a painting. Like, I'll start with a color that is jumping out at me. But once you start with that color, then you know, okay, well, you know, if it's yellow, you know, purple is the complementary color, and you can play, start from there, and then it develops. But you do need to know a little bit about color. You need to know, if you want to be serious, a little bit about composition. Composition is something that came very naturally to me. I'm good at it. I don't know why. I think my dad was good at drawing and composition, and I think color, let's see, the most difficult thing, I think, and really what makes a painting great rather than good, are values. You know, you need a lot of values in your work, and that is a case of mixing complementary colors in with the other color to get a darker shade. People think I'll just put some black in that color to make it darker. Yeah, there's a little bit of technical, but the more you can concentrate and know about values, the better your painting is going to be. And again, I learned that through work. I just worked so much. I created a lot of work in my studio. Once I had that basic stuff, and once I was starting to paint and play around, you know, it's a lot of playing and a lot of happy accidents. And I used to use a lot of gold leaf because I love that texture. So earlier paintings, the background was a lot gold leaf, and it was an instant wow, you know, and that encouraged me. So things like, depends what you want to do with it, you know, and the intuitive, again, it can start with something I read, a quote, or even a position of somebody I see in a book that will inspire me, and I'll start with that, and then I let it develop. You know, I let it develop. Mm-hmm. I hope that helps. And I bought a book, I told you, Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain, because I couldn't draw, and it really gives you techniques to help you see as an artist, which. There's a way that artists see things, you know, as lines, shapes, angles, rather than that's an eye. I know what an eye looks like. I'll just paint an eye. You know, it gets more technical. But they use very easy techniques, like drawing something upside down so you're not seeing the object. And then when you turn it right side up, it's like, wow, okay, I just followed that line or that angle. That was it. That was what started me off, that particular book. You know, so yeah, I mean, I hope that helps.
Mm-hmm. It does. It's beautiful. And Paula's question is, she said, can you tell us more about your novel? So you want to share
the novel? Yes. And I have it right here.
Oh,
and I have to tell you that Paula Boyd Farrington is an excellent artist herself. She's a close friend and an artist, and she designs book covers. She is the one who designed my book cover, front and back, and also inside. I mean, if you look at the chapters, she did all of that. She designed magazine covers for some of our beautiful islands here, book covers, I should say. She's just great. So, and the book Smelling Roses, again, this was something that saved me again. It was that period where I was a bit lost, and then I joined the book club. I think I've told the story, and we write, you know, write little stories. And then somebody gave a prompt that Christmas. I wrote a story that I really liked, and I shared it. And then I thought, you know what, let me just see where the story goes. And over the course of, a few months, the story spilled out. And then I spent another year kind of, fleshing it out and knowing the characters and developing them. And what is really neat, and I will say, I see that little sticker, it says a new Christmas classic, because the story begins and ends at Christmas, so it makes a great Christmas gift. So you can order it directly from my website or on Amazon.com. But and it's a story that's really relevant today, because it takes place in from the 50s to the 60s, where there were a lot of social upheaval and fights for equality and all of that. And so it's echoing really a lot of stuff that's happening today. And it's full of mysticism. It's funny. There's the main character channels messages from an entity, a third dimensional entity or fifth dimensional entity called Magnus. And it's just it's a good read. Everybody that's read it has and said, I read it in two sittings. It's a really good read. So yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Paula.
Yeah. And then Chantel says, beautiful poetry, Claudette. They sound even better when you naturally remember them as opposed to.
Yeah, I'm glad I was able to remember them. But, you know, they become such a part of you when you live with them for, you know, for a while. And so they're really ingrained in your heart, really, you know.
It's so true. I have some poems I've written over the years where it's like, I have this one that I wrote, and I can't recite it, but I do have this one that I wrote, and it's less, well, maybe you could say it's a poem, but it's more like a little thought. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But I was sitting at the base of this 100-foot Buddha statue in the stupa of Dharmakaya here in Red Feather Lakes in Colorado. And the entire Buddha is filled with incense sticks that were wrapped in prayer flags. Mm. So it's a really intense energy inside the stupa. And that particular little piece is like everything about that moment is in that. It's actually in my book. And it's just
read it.
So,
read it.
I'd have to love the book for it, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lauren says, I love hearing about your journey and your sensitivity to our diverse, multicultural world. You're so inspiring. And here, while I look for it, I'll grab my book here and see if I can find it, because I know it's in there. Mm-hmm. I want you to share a little bit about what divine light means to you today, and I'll look for this little piece here.
Well, divine light, when I got invited to do a presentation for this event, I said yes. And then I had to figure out, okay, what are you going to talk about? Because, you know, I'd never done anything like that. And there were a lot of different angles I could take on it. And what happened was the theme, of course, remember who you are. And one morning I woke up and I was thinking, okay, remember who you are. And I looked up on my wall, there's a piece of artwork that went with a prayer wheel that I created for a show in Nassau. And it was a mantra that I wrote. And it said, as I say in my presentation, the light of love dispels darkness. I am love. I am the light. And I thought, okay, remember who you are. You know, I'm the light. And I know everybody else is as well. And so I thought, okay, I will start with that mantra as my opening statement. And as I continued working on the presentation, I could just see how the light has been throughout my story has been very prominent. I shared a dream that I had a long time ago about the light. A light shines in the darkness without the help of a movie projector. I remember that. And then even my one-woman show, Lumière, I thought, oh my God, you know, light. And so as I went along, the theme of divine light was obvious. I don't think I named the show at all. I think maybe you did, Lisa. Did you call it Divine Light? I couldn't give a name for it when I sent it in.
I don't remember giving a name for it either.
Well, it wasn't me. And I thought, divine light, okay, that works. But it is divine light, and it's the light that is in all of us, you know. And as artists, I think we shine a light on that fact, you know. And I know that if I can help anybody see that they are the light, I think that's the best thing I could ever do. And as I say, you know, the most important thing you can do is be the light. Before you can be the light, as we know, you have to really deal with those shadow aspects, because the brighter the light, the longer the shadows. And once you clear all that and be the light, you know, that's, if everybody could find the light within them, one by one, we could change the world, because then there would be no judgment, there'd be no prejudice, there'd be kindness, everybody would be helping each other out. It would basically, you know, solve a lot of the conflicts that are happening in the world. So I think that's it pretty well in a nutshell. Mm-hmm.
So beautiful. I don't know if I'm going to find this. I feel like it's here somewhere.
Well, I've read some of the poems that you've put up. They're beautiful and very enlightening.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Don't know where it's at in here. Maybe it's not here.
We'll find it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will. I'll find it. I'll find it and I'll post it is what I'll do.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it. I swear it was in there, but yeah. I'm looking through my own book going, wow, I remember writing.
That happens. Yeah. It's like, gee, that's pretty good. Oh.
Do you ever read the message? Like, cause your book is all about channeling. There's channel messages in there. Do you ever read those messages again and just kind of take it back in?
Yeah, I do. And it's like, you know, but, again, it was kind of a risk writing those kinds of things, because it's like, this is a, you know, it is fiction, but yet you want to be it to be a real message. But I have to say that I was very comfortable with every single one of those messages that he channeled through, you know, and they came pretty easily, you know, so maybe there was an element of channeling going on. I'm not sure.
I guess there was.
Yeah. That's what, you know, I don't know. And for me, the whole book was channeled, because it's like it came out pretty. But I guess that's what happens with writers. I don't think any of them really know the whole story before they write it. It kind of presents itself. The characters show up and it's really fun, and really as much fun as painting in a way, because, and you know, with words, there's so much power in them, and it's more direct. A painting, you feel that energy and you don't quite know what it is, but when you read words, it's just so, it's really direct. They're both beautiful in different ways and very rewarding. I find, you know, finding just the right phrase or the right word is, I find it so rewarding. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Rewarding. And you know it when it comes, there's no question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My issue is I write and I write and I write and I write. I'm just constantly writing. And so my first book was kind of like, okay, I know I need to get this particular information, but I can actually show you if you guys want to see.
Yes.
The process right now. I'll show you what I have. So this box.
Ooh.
Yeah. This whole box is my 16 years of my spiritual journey.
Wow.
Inside.
Oh my gosh.
This is just from this year.
Wow, you are a writer, man.
And like, if you guys see in here.
Yeah, wow.
Like everything.
Wow. Do you ever go back to the beginning and read some of those?
Yeah, wow. I mean, that's my process. Every minute I have a chance, actually. Wow. And so I have several ideas of books. I have one I'm working on right now. But I have just endless, and so you can see I've marked with my little, the things I've marked are the things that were really, really important.
Right.
That I wanted to go back to and share. And it's, so it's pretty wild because I have, I've got post-it notes, like this is like, this is like notes. I mean, that's insane. So you can see like my journey, and I have just so many things in some of these journals. But you know what's great about keeping track of all your journals is you see the patterns. It is like the
right old there. Yeah.
Shadow work. Because when I read through these, I'm like, holy crap. Like, I met my husband in 2016. So we have been together for 4 incredible years. But I'll tell you what, before that, I was single. And that's the book I'm working on. So the book I'm working on is about 7 years single.
Ah.
And in those 7 years, I saw the Dalai Lama every single year. And I also had wild dating experiences. And if you look in these journals, I was like, spinning about boys, and it's so bad. And I'm like, oh, Lisa, what would you do? But you see how you distract yourself, you know? You just see how you distract yourself. So yeah, so this is like just books and books and books. So if you guys, that's me as a writer. So, and it's funny because I looked at my astrology and it was very much about, and this is something I drew on an airplane. I mean, how weird is this? I drew this on an airplane.
Oh, wow. I'm trying to weep not. Oh.
Yeah. And I drew that on an airplane, and I was flying to New York for work. So if you guys ever want to know, this is my journey. I have just stuff everywhere in here, and I've filled up so many journals this year alone, and I have... this is a picture Sherry Peterson took. This is cool, isn't it?
Oh, that is.
And then I have my current journal is Julie Hoyle's art. So yeah, I have this whole box. So here's my process, which is when I wrote Enlightenment Pie, I burnt the journals that I had written about.
Oh.
And they're done.
Do you regret it or no?
Mm-mm. No, it's like
you let it go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like a Tibetan mandala painting, the sand paintings. It's like goodbye.
Right.
So right now, I'm working these journals here. Really, everything I went through in those 7 years, and so when I'm complete with this next book, I'm gonna burn all this.
Yeah.
Now I'll be saving the ones from this year, obviously, because we're like in a whole other cycle, but everything from that. So I burn them and I release them and I just, it's done. I've said it, I've shared it, I've shared what I've learned, and I can move on. So,
you know, and burning it is such a good way to do it because, you know, I was actually thinking, I have stuff, I have every single paper I wrote back in university in 19, I graduated in 1975. I still have all of them. And I read them and it's like, oh my God, you know, you could see how you were back then. And I was thinking, why am I keeping all of this? And then I thought I should just burn it all because it's stuff. And having gone through Dorian, you realize you need to keep it simple. And then I thought, no, probably great stuff for art pieces. So I'm going to pull them out and maybe cut them up and do that kind of thing. But I save everything. I have, when I moved here to marry my husband, it was on my 25th birthday, and it was the Nighthawk flight from Montreal, Canada to Freeport. It was $99 return, and I still have my return ticket.
Oh, I love that.
So I keep stuff like that, but I'm thinking, yeah, but putting it in art, I think, would be the thing to do. But burning it, you know, it has a holy quality to it. It's like, you know, you appreciate it and you let it go, you know. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it feels like it's once you write it,
yeah,
it's like out of you and it's no longer your story. Like, yeah. It's really funny. I wrote about all this mold and everything that happened to me and all the teachings I learned about my health journey. And it was like, once that book was out, it was like, I don't ever need to talk about it again.
Yeah.
Like, not even me anymore. It's like, yeah. Gone. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Comes up and then you like have to get it out and yeah. Then it happens and then you're done.
And you're done. That's right. That's what releasing shadow work, all of that. And when you do that, you become more truly who you are, because mm-hmm. It's layers that you're going through that you have put on, you know, it's not something. And then you're taking those layers off that were just protective or whatever. And you're shedding those, and then your light can shine brighter because you don't have all that covering on you or all those masks on. So the more you can do that and release, I think that's what we all need to do right now, is to become more truly who we are and do what we've come here to do. And we all have a very unique purpose, and none is more important than the other. And you know, it's that time, as we know, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Perfect. Yeah. And thank you for being here. And thank you for this space for the show and tell also.
Oh. Yeah, it was my pleasure. And yeah, I can't believe, I wish I could journal like that. I'm not very good at journaling. I do. I have a little bit, but not much. I guess I paint it out. I don't know.
You know? Yeah, you do. Well, you know, yeah. And yeah, I never gave it much thought until people were like, oh, journal, journal. I'm like, well, of course, journal. Like, I have writings from when I was a kid, too. A lot of that I've gotten rid of. But I always, always had a notebook and a pencil. Like, there was never a time I did not in my entire life. I mean, I really can't think of a time in my life I did not journal. And and that's just who I am. But I didn't give it much thought until I started doing inner work. And it was like, well, you need to journal. It's like, well, of course. Like, I journal every day. So it was kind of a fun thing. Oh, yeah, of course I journal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you want to do so much, Lisa, that there's so much you want to do. And there's so much you could do, but all of that journaling, you need to do more. You need to write more books. It's all there for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. It's coming. It's coming. I've got one that finally, I was working on one all year. Mm-hmm. And then just in the last month, it was like, oh, okay, this is what mm-hmm. I'm going to do with this. You know how you kind of work on something and then you're like, oh, I see.
All of a sudden. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so this one's coming through. And then I feel like, honestly, after this one, I feel like it's kind of a blank slate and I can kind of step back and see what comes through next. But so we'll see what happens. But anyways, I would love for you, we've got to go because I've got to go to the next show already. But I want you to share with everybody, obviously, Claudette's presentation. And all of her information is on oneheartoneearth.net. But Claudette, do you want to share with everybody your website and how they can get in touch with you?
Right. Well, my website, claudettedean.com. There's a contact page on my website. You can contact me there. And if you want to claim your free gift, it's also on my contact. The link that you have provided, Lisa, takes them to my contact page on my website. Instagram is Claudette_Dean. Again, I don't have a big social media presence, but my website will pretty well give you all the information and how to contact me. And if you want to contact me and ask me anything, if I can inspire anybody or help anyone with information, I'd be happy to. So just send it through the contact on my webpage, or my email is deanclaudette@yahoo.com, just the reverse. And so I'd be happy, and it would be my pleasure to assist or to help or whatever. Also, all of my images, most of them are on Fine Art America, and there's a link directly to those images on my website. You can order prints, coffee mugs, all kinds of things with the different images. It's also there, the link to ordering Smelling Roses, The Perfect Christmas Gift, is also the direct link to Amazon on my website. And if you like the poem, the Inner Sanctum poetry and images, also there's a link there to Blurb on my website. So it's all there. And your free gift, that's Guardium and Dread back there. There are six others. I've given them all a number. And so if you just pick a number, you won't realize which Guardium you've picked. And therefore, it's probably the perfect one for you. So go ahead and claim your free gift if you'd like.
I need to get my gift. You just reminded me of that. Well, I love you so much. We'll be back, you guys, in 5 minutes with Cynthia Dillon. She channels the Morkian Collective. So that was a really interesting and unique set of presentations. So I'm really excited to talk with her. And so much love to you, Claudette. And
much love to you. Thank you so much, Lisa. Yeah. And thank you all for watching, all my friends, family out there. Thank you.
Well, yes. Don't forget to subscribe, and we'll see you in 5 minutes.
Okay. Bye, Lisa. Bye-bye.